For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. We will read Psalm 46. There we read God's holy word to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The text for the sermon is found in this psalm, the psalm we read, the first words of verse 4. Verse 4 of Psalm 46, where we read, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Beloved congregation, last Lord's Day we were reminded of our troubles. There are many troubles in the world, and there can be many troubles in a person's life. And yet there's one trouble that goes far beyond the troubles which are related to this lifetime, which are all troubles resulting from sin. And what is that trouble? Well, that is sin. Sin itself is far more troublesome. And that's the reality we all need to face and acknowledge. This is a trouble that cannot be solved by politicians, doctors, or scientists. The problem of sin is a problem of our heart. And no one can fix that problem but God. In Psalm 46, we learn that God, against whom we have sinned, reveals himself to be a refuge for sinners, a miracle of grace. One of the problems of sin is that it will always be present in this lifetime. Sin will always cleave to us. No matter what you do or fail to do, all our actions are stained with sin. We cannot perform a single action perfectly without some secondary purpose. Sin always pursues us, wherever we go and whatever we do. And did you experience that during the last few days? Maybe you tried to focus on the matters you heard about last Sunday, and you want to prepare yourself for the coming Lord's Day, but you are easily distracted. All kinds of thoughts pop up in your mind, and they distract you and are not edifying. Or you hear all kinds of voices which accuse you of hypocrisy or sloppiness. The busyness of life swallows up all available time and energy. What to do? How will it ever become better? Well, Psalm 46 says, God is a refuge. In this lifetime, there will always be an ongoing battle against the devil, the temptations of the world, and our own sinful heart. And regardless of your situation, whatever you experience, prosperity or adversity, this enemy is always threatening God's people. We are only safe with the Lord. We need the Lord's protective care. And Psalm 46 points to that. In this lifetime, you can experience that all of life is uncertain. Maybe you feel right now that all temporary certainties and stabilities are taken from you. You're losing the foundations you have built on. Where to go? God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God, if God is your refuge, then you are blessed. Then it is true that the Lord is closer to us than our troubles. In spiritual life, there will always be a battle. Paul says in Ephesians 6 verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There is an ongoing fight about our souls. And therefore, we so need to know the Lord as our refuge. We need to shelter behind the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, since the blood of Christ has opened the way of salvation. And Satan cannot grab those who shelter behind Christ's blood. He cannot accuse them anymore, since they are cleansed in Christ's blood. Sin is powerless towards Christ, since the power of sin is broken. God is a refuge. To God we need to flee time and again. And only with the Lord we find peace and security. Even when we feel that we are about to be swallowed up by waves of temptations, trials, and Satan's attacks, we can find ourselves so weak and feeble that we fear we will collapse under the next attack. And yet, with the Lord, we are safe. And tonight we want to meditate on the first part of verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. As we read the first words of this verse, it becomes clear that the poet is shifting the picture. Verse 4 is about a river, and it streams through the city of God. Here we notice a contrast in the psalm. In verse 3, we read about roaring waters that threatens to overflow the country and even swallow up mountains. In verse 4, we are taken to the holy city, the city of God, which is Jerusalem. That is the city where peace and love reign, where everyone who takes refuge in the Lord is safe and secure. So, as it were, we are looking at the refuge itself, pictured by the city of God. And we wonder, why is Jerusalem, the city of God, a picture of safety and security? Is that because of the big walls? As you know, the possible background of this psalm is the story about Hezekiah, king of Judah, who was besieged by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. Hezekiah reinforced the walls. He took all kinds of measures, since he expected the Assyrians to come, since he had shown resistance to their claims. And yet, these measures did not make the city unconquerable. Then what? God is in the midst of her. That's what we read in verse 5. God is with his people. He was with them in his grace. And therefore, the city could not be conquered at that time. The battle was the Lord's. Hezekiah did not need to do anything, since the Lord killed many thousands of soldiers. As a result, Sennacherib departed, and as a beaten dog, he returned home. God himself was as a wall of fire around his people. But what does it mean when the Lord is in our midst, when the Lord draws nigh to us and protects us? Well, that's expressed in our text with the words, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God." From the picture of a mighty fortress, we are now led to a river that streams into Jerusalem and which gladdens its citizens. And let us pay closer attention to this picture. What does the poet mean by the river in the city of God? Well, if we take an old map of Jerusalem, then we will see that there is no river in Jerusalem at all. There was a brook called Kidron, which ran next to Jerusalem. And there were the waters of Silo, yet not a river. But we should keep in mind that the poet employs figurative speech when he uses this picture of a river that gladdens the city of God. And why does the poet use the picture of a river? Because a river is a picture of peace and joy, a picture of refreshment and protection. Recall the Garden of Eden, as it is described in Genesis 2, verse 10. The garden contained a river that went out of Eden to water the garden. From there it was parted into four heads. Water streamed through the garden, from which all the delicious fruit trees and bushes drew water and bore much delicious fruit to enjoy. River is a picture of abundance and joy. River water guarantees life. In our days, we hardly realize this, since we always have water in our homes, and if necessary, we can water our garden. And yet, when you think of the first immigrants of Canada, where did they settle? Where did they build a town or city? There, where water was available. Water is essential to life, and the river provides always fresh water. You need fresh water to survive. And this picture is found throughout Scripture. Recall Psalm 1, which describes the difference between the one who fears the Lord and the one who remains impenitent, the ungodly. Only the man that walks in the way of the Lord is blessed. And to give expression to this blessing, The poet compares the children of God with a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree planted by a river can always draw water from the river. That tree will never be in want of water as long as water streams through the riverbed. And the poet says that true believers are like such a tree. He will always bear fruit, and his leaves will never wither. The tree will always meet its purpose, only because it is planted by the river of water. In Scripture, we also read about the river of God. Recall Psalm 65, verse 9, of which we sang a psalter. There, David says that God visits the earth and waters it. God greatly enriches the earth with the river of God, which is an everlasting stream of water. So here again, the river of God points to the abundance of blessings which can be found with God. The river of God is always full. It is streaming. And it is always at the highest level. It will never turn into a smaller stream. It does not depend on the amount of rainfall or melted water. God's river is constantly full. God's river is always streaming. That's not always the case in ordinary life. A river or brook could be stopped by enemies. Recall of what King Hezekiah did to the pool of Siloam. Because of the ongoing threat of an Assyrian siege, he prepared Jerusalem by ensuring its water provision. One of the strategies to weaken a city was to block the source of water which was outside the city. In that way, the city was without fresh water. And what is a city without fresh water? A besieged city. In the long run, the wells will run dry, and the citizens will faint with thirst. Yet Hezekiah took measures to protect the city from this danger. He dug a tunnel beneath the city from the Gihon spring to the pool of Siloam, so that the pool would always carry fresh water. This narrow channel supplied enough water for the entire city. When the Assyrians came to besiege the city, Hezekiah had ensured water supply. The tunnel would always supply fresh water, so that the citizens will not faint. Well, the river in the city of God will never be stopped. It will always supply fresh water for its citizens. That is the picture we have before us. God is the river. And with the Lord there is life. And with Him there is an abundance of grace. In Psalm 36, verse 8, David says, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." With the Lord is an abundance of grace. And we wonder, what does the water from the river of God contain? Well, let us meditate upon this for a moment. We could say that all that can be said about this river is its efficacy. As water is necessary for life, so the grace of the Lord is necessary for the soul. The river and its streams gladden the troubled sinner. Why? Because with the Lord there is forgiveness of sin. With the Lord is peace. With the Lord is eternal life. God is the source of life. The water from this river will quench the soul's thirst for God. The water of this river points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he met the Samaritan woman, which is recorded in John chapter 4, when he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he pointed to himself when he explained to her that she had a thirst that cannot be quenched by temporal solutions. The soul which is oppressed by the burden of sin will only find relief with the Lord Jesus. And the one who misses God, while he cannot live without God, will find quenching grace with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus explains this to the Samaritan woman who was in need of a Savior because of her ruined life. And Jesus points to the well and says, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." And then he continues his speech and points to himself, saying, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." He supplies in all our needs. He delivers from the power of sin. He satisfies the soul with his peace. With the Lord Jesus, there is forgiveness of sin. He is the source of life, and he will nourish spiritual life by offering his grace time and again, time and again. It is a stream that never stops streaming. In this lifetime, there will never be a time that the Lord does not offer his grace. That is such a miracle. We need the Lord's living water every day. We need forgiveness of sin and peace for our heart every day. And the Lord is so good and gracious. With the Lord there is an abundance of grace. He is able and willing to always provide. Daily we need to drink from Christ and his benefits. And it pleases him if we do so. God's grace, revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, is like an everlasting river, which always provides fresh water. God's great adversary tries to stop the water stream. He tries to throw mud in the river so that it will not look fresh anymore. He does all he can to stop the preaching of the gospel and leave the table of the sacrament empty. He does all he can to keep us from the means of grace. And yet, he cannot stop the Lord's gracious provision for his people. He cannot stop the word of God, and he cannot hinder the powerful working of the Spirit. Oh, let him do all he can to frighten God's people. Even when mountains shake and floods threaten the world, God's church will not be forsaken. The Lord protects his people, and let them drink from the fountain of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet that is another picture which is closely related to the picture of Christ being a river. With Christ there is a fountain opened for uncleanness. Every day a sinner may come to him, to the living water, which cleanses him from all sin. In Psalm 46, we find a striking contrast. Outside the city of God, there are powerful floods and toppling mountains. But within the city, there is the peace of a soft stream of water. That is how life can look like. Outside the believer, there are all kinds of threats. These can be trials and adversities, disappointments and brokenness, The trouble of life can pull you down. You feel that one day you will almost drown in the floods of the life's difficulties. Inside the believer, it can storm too. The temptations of the world can be so powerful that you feel you cannot resist. You feel that you are so easily enticed by sin. You suffer from your own deceitful heart. Where to go if you are the trouble yourself? You need to go to the only refuge, which is Christ. With Him you are safe, and it pleases Him to protect needy sinners, and it pleases Him to provide them with quickening grace. He wants you to drink from Him and His benefits, so that your sins will be forgiven and find peace for your heart. He lets His people drink at the river, which contains softly streaming water. It's a picture of peace, refreshment, and rest for the soul. And only if you drink from the river of God, will you find life. We wonder, how does the river get there? How does the water flow into the city of God? How does the river of God come to a needy sinner? Well, that's by God's provision. The river streams because it has an unwavering source. Its branches come to all His thirsty ones. With Him, there's life. Oh, we cannot maintain our communion with God. We cannot sustain our faith. It is maintained by God Himself. Isn't that a miracle of grace? The river and the streams thereof in the city of God reminds us of another picture, which is found with the prophet Ezekiel. In chapter 47, the prophet describes what he saw in a vision. Water coming from beneath the entrance of the temple, flowing eastward. That is a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who makes us partaker of Christ and all His benefits. In that vision, Ezekiel's guide walks him through the water, measuring the rising river and testing the depth until it becomes impassable just over a mile from the temple. And the prophet cannot stand anymore, but must swim. Speaking about the abundance of grace that can be found with the Lord. But a remarkable detail in this vision is that the water came from under the altar. And what's the altar? Well, that's the place where the sacrifices were offered. The sacrifices of animals. Blood was shed on the altar as a burnt offering or as a sin offering. It was an offering that pointed to the atonement of sin. Well, that is a picture of the salvation that can be found with the sacrifice of Christ. Only because of His merits, streams of grace flow to sinners to let them drink. He is the fountain of salvation. Everyone who thirsts may come and drink. This vision of Ezekiel points to the renewing work of the Spirit. The water flows to the east, meaning to the wilderness and to the waters of the Dead Sea. What is so special with the waters of the Dead Sea? They are salty. In that area, nothing lives. And yet, when the waters of God's river reach that region, then even the most unfruitful area becomes fertile soil. Dry land becomes a blooming desert because of the Lord's redemptive work. That is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit makes dead sinners alive. And He makes unfruitful lives fertile to the honor and glory of God. That means that by the overpowering work of the Spirit, you will repent from sin. You will abhor sin and desire to live a life to His honor. Then you will seek and find forgiveness of sin and renewal of life with Christ. That is the content of the water, of the river and the streams thereof. It's only a small river. It's not an ocean that is pictured before us when it comes to the abundance of grace. It's only a narrow channel of a small river. And yet, says Calvin with this text, it is enough to give complete joy to the holy city, even if the whole world should quake. And we can picture this with the story of Hezekiah. The Assyrians besieged the city round about. There's great distress, and it seems that the people of Judah will be overrun by the mighty king of Assyria. And yet, in the city, the people may feel themselves safe, since the Lord is with them with His grace, and He supplies their every need. Maybe you say, I wish I experienced this every day, but my life looks so different. I seek my refuge with the Lord, but I still experience that I am dry land, as if there is no river streaming. It's true, we don't always experience the refreshing grace of the Lord. As I pointed out before, there is so much that can lead us to despair. And yet, the Lord reveals to us what He is, namely a source of life which flows like a river from which you are allowed to drink. We are admonished to come to Christ with all our needs, both our spiritual needs and our temporal needs. With the Lord there is abundance of grace, and it pleases Him to let His people exercise faith in Him. Not your experience should be normative, but the Lord's promises. If you feel that you are like a thirsty land, then plead with the Lord, since He has promised to quench your thirst. Coming Lord's Day, He is even signing and sealing this to all those who seek refuge with the Lord. Bread and wine are another picture of the Lord's abundance of grace that is offered to all those who have found life with Him. Christ Jesus is still the same. He's still that river with the streams who lets His exhausted and thirsty people drink. And He supplies reviving grace to drooping souls. Don't have any expectation from yourself, but from the Lord. In this lifetime, peace with God will be experienced only in part. It needs to be maintained by the Lord. And He's so good and gracious that He does so by the means of word and sacrament. Yet, that picture of the river and the streams in the city of God comprises also a picture of the future. And that's where I want to close with. The river does not only preserve God's people till they enter eternal life, it will stream everlastingly. In Revelation, we find this picture again. The city of God, the New Jerusalem, will come down out of heaven, And in chapter 2, verse 1, we read that the New Jerusalem will contain a river. We read, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." And it's remarkable that the different pictures of the river streams that flow in and from Jerusalem, as recorded in the Old Testament, come together in this text. The living water flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. God Himself is the source, and Christ has merited life for His people with His blood. But the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, the picture of the river emphasizes eternal bliss. Only joy will be experienced in the New Jerusalem. There will be perfect satisfaction. There will be no thirst anymore. There will be no threats anymore. All will be peace because of the Lamb of God. And the water of this river is so pure and pleasant. It provides everlasting comfort. God's people will be refreshed by this water, because it provides all the blessings from the Father and the Son. And that will cause a joy that goes beyond all understanding. Everlasting communion with the Triune God. Come, dear fellow believers, come and taste that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Amen.